Hey, it's Tony and Jenny Brewski from Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like this show, please consider helping us keep it on the air by becoming an EPP, that's an extra podcast person. You get a ton of bonus episodes and a brand new one every single week and exclusive video content as well.
It's only $5 a month and you can sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com.
Without our EPPs, this show could not go on, and our expenses to keep the show going continue to go up. So if you like it and you want it to continue into the future, please consider signing up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Get all of those exclusives. I can guarantee you will absolutely love them.
Thanks for helping keep Real Ghost Stories Online on the air.
If you're already an EPP, thank you so much for the support. If you're not and you've been thinking about signing up, please do so now and allow us to continue to do this show for you every single day. Sign up to be an EPP on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And thank you so much for the support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, is a dark entity lurking in the dark room of a crowded workplace? A dark and unexplained figure lurks outside a frightened woman's bedroom, and a listener can't believe what they're seeing as an orb makes itself known in clear daylight. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi there.
Hi, and how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing today? I see you taking a big drink. Are you about to cough?
I'm trying to avoid it. That's where you get to sing a little song while I...
I don't sing on the show like you do. Although I could sing better than you, I just don't.
It's your chance right
no,
now.
No, I'm not going to do it.
It's your opportunity.
No.
To sing the hits.
No.
Beautiful, beautiful music. I can hum something. Would you like that?
Mm-mm.
Get out a harmonica? One of those things where like they play the single note to get people in. Is it a
in tune? I don't know what it's called.
A pitch thing? I don't know.
Yeah.
Get one of those and just randomly, I'm just gonna break it out during the show. And break into song something. I'd be like a barbershop quartet. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, you can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And you know it as well as I do. If you like the show, please help keep us on the air. It's only $5 a month to be an EPP, extra podcast person. When you do that, you are keeping us going. Without our EPPs, the show would not continue. So please consider doing that. You get all the bonus material, 40-some episodes, bonus video stuff, and just lots of great extras for being an EPP. Really want to treat our EPPs extremely well with all that extra stuff. So you really get some value there. And like I said, you help keep the show going. Kicking off the show today, let's do a letter. And our letter here, our first one that we have, is coming into us from Rupert. And Rupert writes in, "Hello, Tony and Jenny. My name is Rupert. I currently reside in Yorkshire, England. I wanted to start off by telling you I absolutely love your show. It's bloody awesome." I wish we used the term bloody more as a descriptive in the United States, like the folks over there do. "My story began when I moved into a beautiful one-story bungalow in a quiet and peaceful neighborhood. It seemed too good to be true because it had everything I wanted in a home. I adjusted pretty well to the move, and after about a week of living there, I decided to have my best friend Colin come and stay with me for a night. That night he came over, we decided to watch a movie and play some Xbox. During an Xbox Live session, my internet connection cut out, which then prompted me to go and rest my router. I started towards the living room when out of the corner of my eye I saw what appeared to be someone walk into the next room. Thinking it was Colin, I yelled out to him, 'Hey, did you need something, mate?' I got no reply. Brushed it off, reset my router. Went back into my bedroom where Colin was and asked him if he walked into the other room for a few minutes. He said no, with a confused look on his face. We continued to play Xbox, when all of a sudden we heard a loud crash coming from the kitchen. Colin and I both looked at each other in horror. I initially thought someone was breaking into my house. I told Colin I was going to check things out. I grabbed a baseball bat from my closet and started towards the kitchen. When I got to the kitchen, I was totally baffled by what I saw. All of my kitchen knives were scattered all over the floor, and across from them, a shattered drinking glass. I walked over to the front door and noticed it was completely locked, as well as my windows being shut and locked. I had no explanation for this at all. I was cleaning up the mess in the kitchen when Colin walked in and said, "What the bloody hell happened?" I told him nobody broke in the house. Further went on to tell him I could have just sat things too close to the edge and maybe a vibration may have knocked them down. He and I both shook off the bizarre incident and decided to call it a night. We didn't go to bed until 1 in the morning. About 3 in the morning, I was awakened by footsteps in the hallway. I thought it was Colin getting up to get some water or a snack. Something urged me to get out of bed, so I got up and proceeded into the hallway. When all of a sudden what I saw appeared to be Colin walking slowly down the hallway. There was something very off and disturbing about the way he was walking. He was walking sort of slumped over. He was walking in a jerky motion. A shiver went up and down my spine and the hairs on my neck stood up straight. I called out to him, but he didn't respond. He kept walking and turned the corner to go to the kitchen. I followed him. When I turned the corner, he wasn't there. My blood ran cold and I walked back down the hallway towards the guest bedroom where Colin was sleeping and found he was fast asleep. I don't know what exactly to make of this. All I know is what I thought was Colin in the hallway was something evil and had a very insidious demeanor about it. I was completely awake and I know for sure it wasn't a dream. The morning after the incident, Colin had to go home. Later that day, I was watching some television. Out of nowhere, I heard a loud bang coming from one of the back rooms. I was startled instantly. It sounded like something very heavy fell onto the floor. I walked to the back and saw that my television in my bedroom was on and tipped over on the floor. I also saw that all of the drawers in my dresser and nightstand were opened all the way, along with clothes scattered everywhere. I became terrified and decided to call for help. My friend arranged for a pastor to come and bless the home. Since then, I have had no disturbances I can recall. I decided to ask my realtor about the history of the house. And he said there was a suicide there about 2 years ago. Thank you so much for reading my story. I apologize if it was too long and if my grammar and punctuation were off. Love the show. Keep up the great work. With warm regards from the UK, Rupert.
I always have to wonder with this, the case where you have a haunting after a suicide, if it's the person who killed themselves that's come back and is haunting the place, or if something drove them to that point.
And it's that thing still going.
Yeah, that's what I always wonder. Because you told me about a home up in your hometown,
uh-huh,
where between the span of 30 years, two people,
mm-hmm,
killed themselves in that home.
Yeah.
Two separate families. So.
Same family.
Oh, same family?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, you're right. It was two separate families. You're right.
Two separate families.
Yep, it was. But same home.
It just makes you wonder if it was something in the home that caused,
sure,
that.
It's a spooky house.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a lot of bad energy there, just judging by the folks that lived there.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It's like the cart before the horse.
It's chicken or the egg.
Chicken or the egg.
Yeah.
Another analogy can I make? I'm not good at those, like just off the cuff. But yeah, I mean, it's a very, I think, valid question for something like this. It's interesting where I wonder how much this entity looked like the friend, or if it was just the assumption that it was the friend and it was just kind of a dark shadowy figure down the hall. Is you're naturally going to think it's the other person in the home, you know, until you get a good look at it.
Yeah, I don't know, the way he described the motion,
mm-hmm,
it's like he was able to stand there and watch it for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I got the feeling that it was something that was trying to look like his friend.
Yeah, and looking for its next victim.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Interesting story. Thank you for that bloody good tale. See, I kind of used it in a sentence.
Yeah.
It's like y'all. Thank you all for that bloody good story.
Y'alls are getting much better.
Isn't that good? 855-853-4802. That's our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Katie writes in, hey, Tony and Jenny. I have recently felt that I may be an empath, but I mostly feel negative emotions and it manifests as anxiety. I'm hoping to learn to confront the anxiety and learn to interpret it in different ways. I have a friend who's a very strong empath and she's helping me a little, but neither of us really know what we're doing. So if anyone has any helpful tips on living as an empath, I'd very much enjoy hearing them. I just wanted to send a story regarding Ghost Radar, which is the app you guys have mentioned a couple of times. I would never mess with a Ouija board as I feel it's a chat roulette of the spirit world, but I was wondering if this Ghost Radar maybe just had random words that spit out that seemed to fit the many lives, such as typing, a thing most people do every day. So I downloaded the app and decided to try it out at work. At first, it said two words, fewer, then ran, and it was silent for a while, so I turned it off and walked around. I was trying to fit the words into my life, thinking, oh, I haven't run in a while, maybe it's that. But ultimately deciding it was bogus, but somehow I still felt compelled to use it. Thinking about my family that had passed, both sets of my grandparents, my great aunt, my mother's sister, and my own sister, and thinking about how I never knew them. I was wondering if we would get along, and all the meanwhile, the app had been silent. It has said gasoline when I first turned it on, but had kept silent for about 3 minutes. Right when I was feeling bad, it spat out, people proud. I felt an overwhelming sense of emotion, figuring the people were my loved ones, saying how proud they were of me for getting my degree, working towards getting into pharmacy school, getting married, etc. And then it said, determine, which I believe is referring to how determined I am. I was feeling so happy, and then some other words came up, which I don't want to delve into, but it got very personal and a little dark. After all the things about me, it said, Tim, then tongue, and I know no one named Tim. I was a little creeped out, and then was silent for a minute, and then said, apart, then nearer. That's when I got freaked out and turned the app off. I decided to take a break and walked to the break room, somehow still felt drawn to the app. I turned it on. In the first second, it said, danger. I was so creeped out, I turned off the app and deleted it. I even said a few Our Fathers and Hail Marys just to be safe. I told one of my friends about it, and she said the minute she turned on the app, it said stone, and she had just bought an amber stone ring that day. She also turned off the app and thought it was too creepy. She says, no, I very much agree. The Ghost Radar is probably a modern-day Ouija board. I would not recommend anyone. I love using one, and hopefully this will help some listeners think twice. Thanks for making the show, Katie.
I think most of the time those are just spitting out gibberish, but every once in a while there's some meaning behind there.
Yeah.
And I think it is just a version of the modern day Ouija board, but I think maybe it's not as widely used because it's not something that's been around forever.
Sure.
Whereas, you know, the Ouija board's been around for a while, so I think most spirits probably are aware of that.
I think it's somewhat programmed to, you know, just spit out random words.
Mm-hmm.
And like anything, it can be manipulated, you know, possibly by the other side. But I think sometimes we also then search probably a little bit too hard for meaning in whatever it says on things like that. Where, for example, it said stone. Okay, she got a stone, you know, ring that day. You could also have driven by a stone that day on the way to work. You could have seen a stone in your driveway. You could, you know, you could attribute, you can connect the dots any which way you want.
Yeah.
So I think sometimes we try and connect the dots where it's such a generic pattern. And then we start to just kind of make our own meaning out of things. I mean, when it gets super specific to like names or events, okay, then that's some interesting things that are going on there.
Yeah.
But I think people need to be cautionary as far as how quickly they connect those dots. Just like there's a lot of complete bullshit psychics out there. And I'm not saying all psychics are bullshit. I'm just saying there's a lot that are.
Yeah.
And they work on that same principle of Ghost Radar, you know, in a lot of cases where it's just, well, I'm going to talk about something somewhat generic. You're going to essentially fill in the blanks and start to believe whatever blanks you're filling in.
Mm-hmm.
and it's just going to keep going. And it can be done. And if you really are seeking something out and want to believe something, a lot of people can get taken advantage of quite quickly with that practice. And it's out there.
Sure.
It's just be cautionary is all I'm saying. I'm not saying it's not real. I'm not saying, you know, but in a lot of cases, it's not. In some cases, it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to you to decipher which one is. But that's the thing. I mean, it'd be interesting to hear more about what was said that was a little more personal. A lot of those things, I could see how they could have been attributed to her life. But it'd be interesting to hear, I mean, just how detailed it got.
Yeah, and that may have been what validated this experience
sure.
to her.
Sure.
But to me, a lot of these words are pretty generic.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing. And we've had folks say that the radar app is simply just, you know, it's a spam app. It's there to collect your data, essentially. And so, I don't know. Use at your own risk. We're not advertising for the product. It's something that a lot of folks have asked about, talk about, and indeed use. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Yasmin writes in, "Hello, Tony and Jenny. I'm a relatively new listener to your show, as I only discovered you on YouTube last week and have instantly fell in love. I've been catching up with all your videos while at work and love listening to all the stories you read out and all the callers that call in with such fascinating experiences. I absolutely love your show. I really wanted to share one of my stories with you. I had a huge number of paranormal experiences as a child, my earliest being at the age of 2.5 up until around the age of 15, when they were most frequent. My mother told me when I was 2.5 years old, I was playing with my toys when our neighbor came to tell my mother that her brother had unexpectedly died in Spain. My mother said that the moment our neighbor announced the terrible news to her, my toy train and car moved 2 meters across the room, despite the fact that nobody had touched them. My mother recalls her fear as I continually stared at the corner of the room where the toys had moved, and it was an incident that both my mom and our neighbor could not forget. Little over a year later, my mom hired a babysitter to look after me in the afternoons while she ran her own business in the shop below. And after employing this young woman, she informed my mom that she was a clairvoyant, and there was a spirit of a man in our home who had tragically died the previous year, and that she couldn't understand his Spanish dialect as he attempted to communicate with her. My mother was hysterical with fear, as she had previously been extremely skeptical but could not get away from the fact that she's witnessed these events firsthand. It was from this early age that a number of paranormal incidents occurred, and they were actually mostly extremely positive. However, I want to share one particular story that sticks out in my mind no matter how much time passes. From the age of 15 until I started university at 18, I don't remember many paranormal occurrences happening until 3 weeks into university when I met the man who has since become my husband. We met in the university union, and after many hours of general chit-chat and getting to know each other, he said to me, "I'm not sure whether you are a skeptic or a believer," and went on to tell me a rather unexplained supernatural or paranormal experience he had experienced the week before. That story aside, I started to share some of my own inexplicable experiences, until suddenly we witnessed the emergency exit door in the room had opened on its own without anyone entering. Having already scared ourselves with our prior telling of paranormal experiences, we decided that we should probably not jump to any conclusions about the door, and it must have been the wind that pushed it open, despite it being a warm early September night. 10 minutes later, before we were about to part for the evening, both of us turned at exactly the same time as we noticed the street light that was previously shining through the door the entire time. We'd been sitting in the room, was suddenly not shining at all, making the room significantly darker. As we got up to have a closer look, we both saw what appeared to be a hooded figure. Could have been a male or female standing in the doorway. In that moment, our hearts settled, and we assumed it was just another person coming into the building. However, we watched in utter disbelief as this hooded figure turned to face us through the glass door. It had absolutely no face within the hood, and immediately walked directly into the brick wall opposite. Despite only meeting each other a few hours earlier that evening, we were both in utter shock at what we had witnessed together. And it's no surprise that 6 years later, we ended up getting married. I can certainly say that any other paranormal experience we have had since then, and there sure have been a few, nothing has been as shocking as that experience, and I can still recall the unsettling feeling we both had even at the time we thought it was only another living person standing outside the door. I certainly learned that evening to trust my instinct and to not doubt my gut feelings when they're altering me, that something, alerting me that something out of the ordinary is about to take place. Thanks for reading. I'll continue to catch up on all the previous episodes, and I'm sure I will soon become an EPP so I can get my full fix of your brilliant show.
I think it's kind of a blessing that you both are able to experience the paranormal together so that you can relate, you know. I guess that's probably one of those things that helps bond in an early relationship.
Sure.
But you don't have the whole one side believes and the other side is very skeptic, and especially if you are so sensitive to the point where you are seeing things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's interesting because that can be a very, you know, sticky subject with someone, especially in a new relationship, if one person is adamantly against it and really, you know, it's a way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
If the person that you're with, you know, adamantly believes it and you don't, it could almost kind of be a deal breaker, if you will. You know,
yeah.
It could be like, there's something not quite right with this person if that's the way that they're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
If that's how, you know, depending on how against that belief idea is, you know,
sure.
You could really, you know, judge that person. But if you're both in the same mindset, you know, and open to the idea, it can be a really interesting ongoing topic.
Mm-hmm.
Hence, we talk about it every day of the week. You know, I don't remember the first time we talked about ghost stuff. Do you? I know it was probably early on.
It was pretty early on because we both talked about our love of Halloween.
Yeah, it was probably on our first date, I'm guessing.
Yeah, but our first date was like 5 hours long at a restaurant.
We covered a lot of things.
We did.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, yep, you pass. We can continue on to the next day.
Thank you.
But it's such an interesting, you know, topic really to bring up with anyone who is, you know, of like mind. And it can be an extremely frustrating topic to talk with anyone who's extremely dismissive to the point of it where it's like, nope, 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 nope.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm fine with someone who's just skeptical, but they're open to hearing it. But it's there's nothing that annoys me more when you talk about the topic with someone who's just completely and utter dismissive and not even skeptical,
mm-hmm.
not even curious. It's like, how can you not be a little bit curious about this?
Sure.
You know what I mean? There's just so much that goes on in this world. Believe it or not, you got to be somewhat curious as mm-hmm. to what the hell these people are talking about.
It's a fear mechanism.
Probably.
Just deny, avoid.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I mean, because if you start to remotely start to feel like, oh, maybe there is something to this, that may be opening up a whole other box of worms for that person individually
mm-hmm.
that maybe they don't want to open. Maybe something did happen. That's the only thing that I can think of sometimes when people are so not open to discussing the topic. And just, nope, not real, not real.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, did something really tragic happen? Or did you, like, witness something really shocking that really made you realize that that is a possibility and you just don't want to revisit it or investigate it any further, you know, or what that is?
Yeah.
I could see that being the case in some ways. Anyway, 855-853-4802 is our number. And please press subscribe, whatever platform you listen to us on, iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, Spotify. There's a lot of them out there. That'll help us grow in those rankings and will also allow you to get our show right as they've become released. Go right to your device. Tammy writes in, hello, Jenny and Tony. Thank you for all the work you both put into the podcast. I've been listening for almost a year and have been an EPP for about 8 months. Thank you. I'm on my second trip through the podcasts. Wow. That's a lot of listening.
That is a lot.
I remember having paranormal experiences since the age of 3, and I have many stories. But I want to tell you about the ghost that roams our art department. Maybe two. I've worked at the same company since 1998, and the location of the department has stayed in the same location the entire time I've been with the company. We've grown, but the nucleus of our area has stayed the same. From the beginning, I've heard things in the department after everyone has left. I hear tools being laid onto our glass work tables, or paper being torn, or the hydraulics for the laminators going off. When you're laminating a piece of art, you have to raise and or lower the rollers as the art goes through the press. When that happens, you heard a pop-push noise. That's very distinct. In the early years, I would leave my office to see if someone was in the workroom or if someone had come in looking for something and needed my help. A small note about our department, there are two sets of double doors coming in our area in the attempt to create an airlock. So when someone comes into the area, you're sure to hear them. We have two dark rooms, two large workrooms, and my office. On one of the dark rooms, you can only enter through a revolving darkroom door. It's not quick to go into or come out of. The darkroom is painted entirely black, floor, ceiling, walls, light plates, everything. The company that I work for is about 100 strong, but our department is tiny. And for many years, it was just three people. Me and two guys that work as my graphic techs. About 2 years ago, I hired an assistant. During the first couple of months that she was here, everything was pretty quiet. And then one afternoon, when she and I were the only two in our area, she jumped up from her computer, and I see her walking through the production area. She came into the office with a confused look on her face and asked me if I had heard someone in the department. I answered yes. And she asked me who, because she had not heard anyone come in through the doors, but heard someone in the area. I told her no one had come in and that it was just our resident ghost. She freaked, stayed freaked until she transferred out of the department. Many times I have felt a presence in the dark room and have rushed to get out only to have goosebumps running up and down my arms when I'm finally out. In March of this year, I was in the dark room loading photo paper into the processor. Again, the room is totally black. I had the roll of paper in my hands with about 2 feet of paper loose from the roll. All of a sudden, there was a bright yellow light to my right, and I turned my head and I saw the outline of a man in a hat. He was over 6 feet, formidable in size. It seemed that he was looking at me. As quickly as he came and went, my heart was racing, but I put the paper into the processor and then I booked out of there with a handicap of the revolving door. I made a huge crash when I went into the revolving door. I went to my desk and tried to get my heart rate under control. It takes about 15 minutes for the paper to run through the processor. When it finally processed and I looked at the print, there was a huge burst of red and yellow color on top of the image. The next day, I went into the dark room and told the ghost to not do anything to scare me that way again. After my assistant was moved into another department, I hired another. She's also heard of the same noises of someone walking in her area when there should be no one there. She and I share an office as we have outgrown our space. My desk faces the door and her desk faces mine. One day I was standing behind her, looking over her shoulder as she worked on a file. I put my back to the door. This was in the middle of the day, so the guys were working and people were coming in and out of our area. I thought someone was peeping around the door to get my attention. But when I glanced around, no one was there. I don't think anything about it. I went on helping with the file. A few seconds later, I felt it again, and I turned to look, and I saw a fuzzy gray figure about 3 feet tall peeking about the door. When I knew I was looking at, it popped back out of my sight. I've seen the same figure now several times. The size difference in the two apparitions make me think there may be two ghosts here. Today, one of the guys was in the dark room working. When he came out and he was shivering, he had a very strange look on his face. He said he was looking at the computer and the mouse started moving across the desk. It was not near the mouse and there was no reason for it to be moving. In a few weeks, we'll be moving out of this area and into a larger space further into the building. Not sure if he or they will go with us or stay to haunt the electromechanical department that's moving into our area. A ghost in an electromechanical department could be a major challenge. Have a great day.
I bet you they stay because there's going to be more energy for them to feed off of.
That's like a ghost's dream come true.
I think so.
Ghost Disneyland. It can do anything it wants. I don't know. I could imagine it staying in that specific area, and I wonder if it was there before that department was there, too.
Mm-hmm.
The current one.
Sure.
You know? Very, very interesting story. I always, I don't know if it was just the energy that was being produced, but the radio stations I've worked at, some of them have transmitters in their building, some of them don't, and they're far away. The ones that do have the transmitters in their building, like the last one I worked at in the basement, it has all of the transmitters for the AM station that was there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a long hallway of just shitloads of electricity and equipment. And when you're down there in that room specifically, I mean, it's very basement-esque. It's just, you know, concrete walls. You just, there's a weird energy about it. And I don't know if it's just the fact that there's just so much flowing through there, nothing paranormal, you know, so to speak, that just kind of gives you an uneasy feeling if you're remotely sensitive to anything. I mean, I don't consider myself all that sensitive, but I just always felt uneasy in that room.
Yeah.
And it could have been the paranoia of like, what if something shorts out and like things start, like electricity starts flying about, mm-hmm. you know? Or if it is, you know, just such like a nucleus for any other energy to get in there and feed off of, that it's just, I don't know. I always just felt very weird around very, you know, powerful equipment like that.
I think it feeds off of it, and it's probably drawn to it to some degree.
Sure.
I think if a ghost ends up haunting a place that has that much electrical power, it's like jackpot,
yeah.
you know, and they're probably going to stick around for a while.
Just sit there, get the energy it needs, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, interesting. Let's go to another letter. Erica writes, in my experience with a shadow figure, we lived in an old two-story house on a tree-lined street in a small town. My ex-husband, a town police officer, had stopped in on a break to grab a snack and check in on me and our three-year-old daughter. Being sometime after 10, I had already put her to bed for the night. My husband was having a sandwich and chatting to one of his friends on the phone. I went upstairs to settle in. I always slept with the bedroom door open so I could listen for the baby if she should get up in the night. A street light located in the alley outside provided lighting to the staircase and most of the upstairs landing in the hallway. I was lying in bed listening to the sound of conversation coming from the downstairs kitchen. My eyes had adjusted to the darkness and recognized the usual shadows created by the street lamp. I glanced across the room towards the open bedroom door. In the door frame stood a tall, thin figure, a shadow, looking in towards me. After staring at it for at least a half minute, I saw the shadow of his arm reach in towards the door and slowly pull it shut. I watched the door close on the tall figure. I lay there a bit, confused as to why my husband would have come all the way upstairs to shut the door we always left open, and why he hadn't said a word to me as he was doing it. I was also confused because I could still hear sounds from the kitchen, dishes clattering, refrigerator door opening, ongoing buzz of conversation. At this point, I didn't feel scared or threatened. I climbed out of bed, went to the door, and opened it. Went downstairs to the kitchen and asked him why he'd come up to close the door. He just looked at me puzzled and said he had not been upstairs, and perhaps it was our daughter. I was very confused by now. I distinctly seen a tall, slender figure in the bedroom doorframe, at least 6 feet tall. I never saw it again after that night. Like many of your listeners, I enjoy your show and have other tales to share. Thanks for your story. With you, Erica, in Colorado.
Do you think it's following the husband?
I'd like to hear what the other stories are.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard to say. You know, he was there, so then it occurred. Has it occurred any other time, any other place, with him there, without him there?
I don't know.
That's an interesting thing. I don't know. I think that police officers, firefighters, folks who are out there in very high-stress jobs and oftentimes surrounded by highly emotional conflict
mm-hmm.
Of people around them, and then sometimes tragedy and death and things of that nature, are probably some of the folks who are most likely to have something attached to them.
Yeah.
Especially if it's like a real tragic, you know, like a murder or something of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was like an ongoing unhappy environment that that person in life was inhabiting and they're passed on, that maybe once they've passed and if they're still in that environment where it happened as a ghost, and then the police are there and they're investigating, that they realize, I'm going to get out of here now, and I'm going to go with this person.
Yeah.
And then they just continue to follow that person. And not that it's always a bad entity or anything that ends up following, but more so just like a hitchhiker that's like, you're my ride out of here.
Right.
You know.
Well, that's what I wondered, because it only happened, as far as we know, the one time, and it was when he was there.
Sure.
And I'd be willing to bet that there's been more times where things have happened and maybe she didn't realize that it was something other than him.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times that is the case, because you're not always going, oh, it's paranormal. It's paranormal. Paranormal. You know, you're thinking logical.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how many times, you know, you have pressure in a house, you know, in summertime, you know, you open a door to the outside. Sometimes it'll then end up making other doors in the house just slam shut on their own because of the pressure that's going in and out. Not necessarily paranormal, but, you know, there can be times too, you know, where I'm not necessarily confirming that someone else went out, opened the door to the outside, and then that's the reason the interior door slammed. I just assume that the interior door slammed because somebody opened the outside door.
Sure.
I'm sure there's times like that where, and I'm not saying here, but in various situations where you just write it off as, oh, somebody must have opened the door, when in fact it really was something paranormal. You know, you never know.
You don't. You don't know.
Lisa Ann writes in, hi, I wrote previously about what I remember about before I was born. I was listening to one of your callers who called in about an orb that was in her room even while she was on the call. It made me remember my own orb experience. I was washing dishes one night. Everyone else in the whole house was asleep. And I suddenly started hearing this creepy humming. It sounded like a person, an old lady maybe, just making one continuous tone with her voice. I was kind of freaked out, but tried to attribute it to the air conditioner kicking on. Then I got done and went into the living room. I suddenly saw what I thought was light reflecting against the wall. But then I saw that it was moving all around. I tried to find the source and I couldn't do it. I was really getting scared by now, so I woke up my mom, who had fallen asleep on the couch. She just rolled over and went back to sleep. I couldn't get her to wake up after that, so I just went to my room, closed the door, turned all the lights on, and went on YouTube. Basically, I just freaking ignored it. But then, I look up at the door, and it's open, when I very clearly remember shutting it. That's when I just finally admitted how scared I was and cussed at whatever was doing it and told them to just leave me alone and back off, because I wasn't open to interacting with them. They did, and I didn't hear from them again. I have a lot of paranormal stories, so I'll keep writing in as I remember them.
Do you think orbs are always good or bad or one way or the other?
I don't think they're ever one way or the other. I mean, I think that some are good, some are... It's just another way that I think things manifest.
See, I've never heard of a bad orb. Have we ever talked about like a...
A bad orb?
A bad orb.
I don't know. I think sometimes, you know, there's things where other things are going on in a home and they're paranormal and it's not a positive experience. And sometimes people do see the orbs, but the orbs are not necessarily, you know, the thing that are causing the strife at that moment. But it could very well just not be, it may not be manifesting the way it does in other places or times.
Yeah.
I think that... It, you know, an orb is just really, you know, a way that something can manifest. And it may not always be an orb. You know, it may be a shadow. And then some days it's an orb. But it's the same entity that's manifesting in different ways.
I just think it seems so less threatening when it is an orb.
Well, it's a happy little bubble.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Until it eats your cat. But, but it has... I don't think it's anything really to assume that it could not be negative.
We've talked, I think, now that I think about it, we've had a story of some, I think there were teenagers that went out to, I believe it was an old church or something, and there was an orb that kind of came up and rushed them as they were leaving, and it scared them a lot.
Sure.
But I still, you know, it's hard for me to say, oh yeah, that was something malicious. It's just...
Sure.
I almost want to say because it was an orb, oh, it was a warning orb. It wanted you to not come.
It just wanted to help.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
Just give it a hug. Give it a little hug and it'll all be okay. Yeah, I mean, just, I think it's a very unassuming shape as far as what to expect. But I think it really, I think it could mean anything. when it comes to the paranormal itself. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go over to a caller. Let's go to Ashton. Hi.
Hey, guys. It's me again. My name's Ashton. Big fan of the show. I've been listening for the past couple weeks and just love you guys' show. But I thought of another story I might, you guys might want to share on your show. So, in high school, I had a group of friends, and we all were very into the supernatural. We liked going out and searching for ghosts and finding whatever we could. And there was a time where we found this ghost town on the internet, and we decided we were going to go spend a whole weekend and go camp out in this ghost town. I live in Utah, so it's down in kind of a southern Utah area. It's just completely abandoned. And we were out this one night, and we'd been there for about 3 days, and it was the last night that we were sleeping there. We hadn't seen anything yet, and it was late at night. We were all just getting ready to go to bed. There was about, I think, 8 or 9 of us. And my friend Jordan, we were kind of camped out on the top of this hill, and he came running into our camp saying that he saw a shadow man or some sort of shadow figure. We were all really excited about it, went running down this hill to where he had said that he'd seen something. Now, when we were walking around down there, my other friend Brett said that he had seen something that looked like a cougar or a big cat lift up and turn into a man-like form and walk off into the trees. Now, this abandoned area that we were in was once Indian territory and is kind of famous on the internet for skinwalker sightings. I don't know if you guys have had any stories like that on your show before, but it's pretty much a very angry Indian spirit that most people, even ghost hunters, refuse to deal with. So as soon as he said that, the group of us knew about skinwalkers. Everyone panicked and was like, we don't want to mess with this. Even the ghost adventurers that we know of refuse to deal with skinwalkers. So we don't want to do this. Well, so everyone left except for myself, my friend Brett, who saw it, and my friend Jordan, who was definitely the most courageous of us. I stayed mostly because I was trying to impress a girl, but I guess that's just that. So we followed Brett to where he saw this thing inside of the trees. Now, there was a kind of a tree line towards the bottom of a hill. We walked back into the tree line to an area where there was kind of a circle of kind of an open field where there wasn't as many trees. It wasn't very large, and it was pitch black. It was just so dark. You couldn't see anything around where our flashlights, like, weren't aiming, if that makes sense. So as we were walking around kind of looking, I was right behind my friend Jordan. We were following him because he had the brightest flashlight. And he looked up into this one area of the trees, and I couldn't see past it, but he could from where he was standing, and screamed and said, "Guys, go, go, go," and just started running. Now, I didn't know what he had seen, but I'd never seen that kind of terror on his face. And we'd gone out looking for whatever kind of ghosts multiple times, and he's seen things multiple times, and this was the first time I'd ever seen him scared. So I turned, I sprinted as hard as I could. I tripped and I fell at some point running from whatever he'd seen, and my friend Brett, who was right behind me, picked me up and kept me running. I thought I was going to die, honestly. I was so terrified. He picked me up, and I kept running. We got out to the edge of this tree line and up the hill. And at that point, I turned around because I hadn't dared to look back until this point. I turned around to look and see possibly what was chasing us, and saw on the edge of the tree line, probably about 75 yards away from where I was, a dark, shadowy figure standing on the edge of the tree line. And I couldn't see its face, I couldn't see eyes, but I knew it was looking right at me. And then it backed into the trees. And my heart, oh, I've never been so scared in my life, honestly. So we ran back up off the hill to our campsite, told everybody what we'd seen, and I didn't sleep a wink that night inside of my tent. I slept on the car ride home. I love the show. I hope you guys use my story. I'll keep listening. Thanks. Bye.
You know, that conversation went back when they got to the campfire.
I don't know.
Hey, everybody. We just saw a dark figure. We almost had a heart attack running away from it. It was really creepy. Probably demonic. Has a chance of eating us in our sleep. But hey, let's have some s'mores.
You know, we had an episode called Skinwalker
mm-hmm.
with a story in it. And that was the first time that I think either of us had ever heard that
yeah.
terminology. And we looked into it some. So that is very interesting.
It's something you don't want to mess with. I agree.
Yeah.
And I don't blame you for running or being as scared as you were. Sometimes you have to wonder in situations like that, though, is it just someone who lives in the woods that's, you know, getting their kicks out of people who constantly try and venture out there?
Yeah.
You know, or is it something like that? I mean, I would venture to say that it's probably something more paranormal than some hermit living in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to wonder sometimes.
Sure.
You know, but very, very interesting story. Thank you for sharing. 855-853-4802. Let's go to another caller in Texas. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Ben. I live here in Little Elm, Texas. I called you guys before. I drive a truck to McAllen, Texas, from Dallas to McAllen. And I'm the guy that heard a voice in the sleeper cab trying to get my attention. One night I was traveling down to McAllen to make a delivery, and McAllen's in South Texas. There's nothing but brush country in that area, and one night I was driving between Porfirias, Texas, and McAllen. So right in that little piece, there's about 60 to 70 miles of nothing but brushland. And this particular night, I had just hung up the phone with my wife and my daughter, and I was saying my good nights and everything. So it was about 10:30 at night, and I only had about an hour left on my drive to get to my destination. Well, I said my good nights and everything, so I was in good spirit, and I was just ready to get there and go to sleep. Well, when I was driving, I left the rest area. It's very dark, mind you, in these areas. A little backstory: in these areas, there's a lot of people crossing in from Mexico, so I see them every night. And some of these people, I guess, they get separated from their groups coming up north, and they just decide to go right back to Mexico. And like I said, I see them every night, and I think nothing of it. I'm like, when I see them, I'm like, okay, well, there's a group. There's a couple right there on the way back to Mexico. I guess they got tired or whatever and just said the heck with it. I'm going back. So it doesn't faze me. So that's in my mind that they're just going back home. But this one in particular night, along the highway, along the road, like I said, I see these people down the road on the side, on the shoulder. And this particular night, I saw this lady. time slowed down enough for me to identify what I saw. And what it was, I guess, a lady, entity, I don't know, hobbling with his head down. When my truck came up to the side of this thing, I started to cry. The tears just started rolling down my face, you know, like a fear, and my hair just stood up. I shared a video on your Facebook page. I don't know how to share videos, but you'll see the video of something hobbling towards two guys in a Jeep. It's scary as shit. And that's the best way I can describe what I saw. So once I got down to McAllen, or right after I seen that, I started praying because I was scared. I was really scared. I was terrified. I called my wife and started praying and everything. I told this to my coworker, and he told me that maybe you're just missing your family. You know, maybe you want to feel homesick. And I told him, no, man, I just hung out with my family. I just hung out with my wife and daughter, you know, said goodnight. I was in good spirits. But I don't know what it was. Maybe you can give some explanation. I'm not sure if the video is real or not, but I know what I saw was real, and it's just like that in the video. Anyway, keep up the good works, guys, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
It makes you wonder how many people on the side of the road he sees that are really there and how many really aren't.
It's kind of like what we were talking about before. Mm-hmm. Where you don't, the door slamming. You just kind of assume, oh, it's normal, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. How many are, in fact, living?
Yeah, because I would think that would be a very sad and haunted stretch of road.
Sure. I bet there's a lot there that people don't realize are not real people.
I have not seen the video, so we'll have to look for it on Facebook. And you might, if you can, just email it to one of us.
Yeah, we'll take a look at that, and we'll talk about it on another episode of the show. Thank you for calling in and sharing your story with us. If you like our show, please help us keep it on the air. Become an EPP Extra Podcast person. Get all the bonus episodes, 40-some of them ready for you, exclusive video content and more. You sign up on the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. And thank you in advance for doing just that. And if you already are, thank you for keeping us on the air, keeping this thing going. Without you guys, it would not be continuing. So please help us, allow us to continue doing the show for you. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.